Okay, we're holding now the Kuflan Zayin. One line down from the top. So the next thing that the Mishnah taught us was that Reishi Sagez Eino Noheg Ela Berechidim. The only chiv of Reishi Sagez is Dafka on Son. And as a matter of fact, it's trying to make it clear that it's not just Son, because Son can include goats. We find that a mamish in the pasuk, we find it called. This is leif nalat son. Leif nalat son. The kach maybe the aedim. How does that work out? Obviously, son is a general term for small animals, so it would include both goats and sheep, just like a camel is supposed to. Set is supposed to aedim. Sekvasim. Okay, so that's the case. How do you know that it's dafka in the min from which ewes come, which are the sheep? Omra chista asya giza giza. That we learn out from what appears to be gzeras hakosav. The Tosfos points out you can't really call it gzeras shava. Rather, you can't really call it gzeras shava because we're learning it out from something in Iyov. But it's like since it's not a Dover Kodash, it's like a Gilui Milsa sort of thing. Yeah, even if you'd want to call it a Xerah Shavah Mamish, maybe it's Xerah Shavah, but not to teach me something new, something, that's obviously. But to be a Gilui of what we know, where do we find it in the Pasuk? So we learn it out. It says, Reishis Geis Tzonecha. That has to mean dafke kvasim. Why? Because ksiv hasam umigeis kvasai yitchamim. So that means that the lotion of gaze is related to the kvasim. Malahalan kvasim. So afkan kvasim, therefore, son is not the point. The point is hemet, sheep. Dafke sheep. Why do you learn it out from Eo, for heaven's sakes? Why not learn out the din of Giza from the Isser Giza on Bechor? There is a dispersion in Torah. Nail of Giza, Giza, mi Bechor. Tetanya, lo ta'avod b'chor shorcha, v'lo ta'goz b'chor tzonecha. En li'ela shor ba'avodah v'tzon b'giza. I would think, since it says b'chor tzonecha, so that comes to tell me that dafka the Giza is on son. How do we know that minayli tena mushal zeva 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 mushal zeva zeva? How do we know that we're not allowed to shear the hair on a shor if that shor is a bechor? Therefore, comes along the posuk to say Talmud Lomar lo tavod v'lo tagoz. So the Torah is putting both the giza, yisra of giza on the shor, and the yisra aveda on the keves. So what do you see from there? That the Lashon of Giza applies to Shvari. So how do you know to learn from Eof that it should apply Dafka to Kvasi? Omar Pro answers the Gemara. Because since it says in the Pasuk, Reishis Geis Tzonecha Titein Lo, we dash that to mean Titein Lo V'lo L'sakos. What it is that you should give him is something that is suitable for his own clothing, and not to make some kind of sack to carry things in, and that's the most that you can get out of shearing a shor. Therefore, a shor is not included in the din of Reishis Hageis. Ah, but if that's the mokar l'miata, notza shel izim l'chayim, then how do I know not to be mechayim the wool that I pluck off of goats? You can certainly get very fine begodim out of that. Actually, cashmere comes from goats. It's fine. So why would I not be five Reishis Hageis? I know why. Because this is one thing we didn't think of. The lashon of Giza itself is an act of shearing, and notza is plucking. So mamela, since that's the derech from which you get wool off of a goat, you have to find and pull it off. It's not what the Torah refers to in the word Giza. Oh, now wait a second. Mansham at Lehaisvara. Who is the Bad Yarmu who is Medayat Aloshin in the Torah as meaning the specific pu'ula rather than the overall sense of taking hair off of the thing. We find such a svara by Rabbi Yossi. We will see later on, Rabbi Yossi holds when it says leket ketzircha, it means it has to be with a knife, and not if you pick something. That is not called leket ketzircha. It is not katzir. So he would say the same thing over here, is apparently what you're trying to say, that since it says gaze, this is in derech gizah. Problem is that even over there, when it comes to leket, Rabbi Yossi is motive immediately, or can we say later on, that if the derech is, this is the way that you're, let's say onions, we just say that the fee of the matonis on onions, let's say to leave pay or something. No, it wouldn't be a fee because there's no kotzer on onions, because they're pulled. But that's the way to pull it. That is their kotzer. That's equivalent to their kotzer. So if this is the way to get easy, so this is the equivalent of gaze. It doesn't work out. And if you don't know the Rav Yossi B'chlar, we're not medayik that kind of loss of the term. It's a specific pula. So we'll have to throw all of this out. Because we kept putting on bandages to try to make things work out that we should be able to learn out from EO. Migeis kvasan. That we can't do. Ela, let's take a whole new approach. It's Kiryam Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. We'll see later on. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Tainas, that the Matonis are all defined by the fact that Kibo Bachar Hashem Lamod Ulasharet. That means that the Matonis have to be seen in that context. Dover Haraui Lasherut. Therefore, we need to talk about something which I can give him that is usable for his Avodah. And that's only Tzemer, because it's only Tzemer that is kosher for the Big Day Tzvah, the Big Day Kuna. And therefore, I can still have an open bottle. And therefore, Achinami Dover Haraui Lasherut. Alright, so let's just review what we just did. We know that even though the Torah says Reshis Geiz Tzonecha, normally people think Tzon means by definition sheep. That's not the case. As Tosus points out, we find out the Farish of the Torah that it doesn't mean sheep because it says Leich Ma'alat Tzon by the Maisa with the Brochus, and Leich Ma'alat Tzon, it says Chilim Misham Shnegedi Eizim. So obviously Eiz is Tzon. So how do you know that when the Torah says Reshit goes gaze tzonecha, it's not just giving an example of maybe, as a matter of fact, as we'll see, maybe even it extends to shor. Now the Torah is just using tzon as an example because, I mean, by Bechor we find that we can talk about the gaze of a shor. Right? So we can't be medayik from the very word. Therefore, the Gemara wanted to make gzeira shava to the pasuk in Iyov. From the fact that it calls gaze, the ferish, gaze kvasai chamen. So it has to be this thing that is going to be mechamen me that comes from Dafka Keves. Therefore, the Mishnah uses the lotion of Rachel to make it very clear that we're talking about the species that has ewes. That means what we call sheep. Not what the Torah calls tzon, which would mean sheep and goat. So it's Dafka sheep. Okay, that we said that it doesn't make sense. If we're limiting this because of Gzeirah Shava, it makes more sense to say that Gzeirah Shava is a reference to Bechor. And because Bechor, the Torah uses the word Giza. Not Eod uses the word Giza. So the word Giza, as it appears by Bechor, even includes Shvarim. So what would be the reason not to include Shvarim then? So now we wanted to fix that by saying that, okay, that's another deal, because that doesn't include, it's not included in the word Giza. But then we showed that even the Mandyomer who's Makbet on the Lashon agrees that when this is the standard way of doing something, which of course plucking would be by a goat, then it would be included under the general Pu'ula, just like we'll see later on the Gabe Leket for onions. So Memela, we had to try now a new approach, and our new approach is something completely different. The Torah defines the Nesina as being Negea, the Sherus of the Kohen. And since the Sherus of the Kohen, the Torah defines with the Desuah, the cover of the things that he's doing, Sherus personally is wearing, that's Dafka, that we know over there is Dafka Tzemer. Tzemer comes Dafka from the Rachel. Memela, there's no choice but to understand Reshit Geis Tzonecha in the context of the Nesina of the Kohen. It says immediately afterwards, after it says, okay, so if that's the case, so then what is this Gzeir Shav of Giza? Now, this is a little disturbing, because Lakara before, we were saying it's not really a Gzera Shava. It was just a Gilui Milsa V'Yalma. You can't ask on a Gilui Milsa, so then what do we use the Gzera Shava for? I mean, there's no Gzera Shava. So Tosis indeed is bothered by that. He said, maybe the pshat that we don't make a Gzera Shava for a Divrei Kabbalah means to teach us something new. In other words, you can literally use Gzera Shava, which means more than Stam to be Megala, as long as what it's doing is only to be Megala. The fact is that if we have a Kabbalah and we're told, look at the word Giza and see where you match it up as Gzera Shava, so then, Legabe, what did we have that Kabbalah? That's the question. And the Gemara answers, look at the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Kvasim Pshitzim Ram Kasheh. So, in other words, the point over here is not to teach me the din in the species, that I know from La Moda Sharet, but rather to tell me the specific halacha of the individual phenotype, not the tzon per se. And that's coming from this particular individual, has a very thick, stubby hair that doesn't work well as a warming thread. Because when the whole point of wool is that it makes so many of these little interconnected places that it creates insulating spaces of air. And if this tzemer that this particular individual has doesn't have that, it's part of Rebreshit HaGeis. So how do I know that? Because of the Yitzchamim. If I can't use this to warm myself, then it's not real. It doesn't have the essence of wool in it. The Mela has no idea, no fear of Rebreshit HaGeis. Well, in the same way that Truma means Rishis, Rechala means Rishis, it doesn't mean the first part of it, I do the whole thing. But the first usage that I have out of it is I take this out of it to give. But it doesn't mean that it's literally, it's not like Bikurim, where I go out and I find the first ones. Tonichad. Now, it's interesting, we seem to have a contradiction here in the Brises. One Brise says, if you're gozeza ta'izim, which you saw before, you pluck the wool off of an ace, v'shotefet ha-rechelim, or you put the rechelim through a wash. Now, when you wash them, you generally get a lot of wool that falls off in the water. I find this in your washing machine all the time. You wash sheep, the filter. That's what that lint is. So if you use the lint, right? So in your pot. So you don't have to have Reish HaGeis on your lint filter. V'taya idach, but the other price it says, Gozeis is ha'izim is indeed potter, but Shotef es ha'rechelim is chayes. So how do you explain that? Oh, what you'll have to say is Lukasha, ha'rabon and ha'Rav Yossi. In other words, if you hold like Rav Yossi holds the pu'ula of Geis, Giza itself is what is Mechayev. And remember, we saw this by Leket. We're going to see it by Leket, but we spoke about it. That it has to be done in the way in which you would normally do it. The way in which you normally get wool is not by going to your lint filter. Memele, it's not included under Giza. The problem of the Rabbanan, what's the difference? This is Giza. I mean, it's not the act of Giza. The goats are not b'chol matchayev. That's not considered to be tzemer, that the Torah was being matchayev. You want that we learned out from Lamod L'Sharet. So that I posit you for. But the pu'ula per se is unimportant according to them. It's Rav Yossi Shita who holds that the pu'ula is important. So that part was going on, leave it to Rav Yossi. D'tanya. Where do we see, now we've been referring to this all along, this machlokas? What really is the marker of this machlokas that we keep referring to between Rav Yossi and Rabbanan about the hakpada on the tzura of the act that the Torah refers to? D'tanya. Leket kitzircha, v'lo leket kituf. The Torah says, kitzir, it means as opposed to some picking that you might do. The Torah is not machayev you on leket. It's only if you came in there with your thresher, your sickle, and you took out the way you normally would do, that's considered to be katsir. Rav Yossi Omer, ein leket ala haba machmas katsir, which seems to be, of course, exactly what Rabbanu just said. Hanitanakama. No, there is no Tanakama. This is Rav Yossi's maimer. It's saying, How do I come to the conclusion that Leket Kirpa is low Leket Kirpa? Where does it say that? So, Rabbi Yossi, I'm marrying Leket. Rabbi Yossi says, because the meaning of the word Leket is the sense of Katsir. That's the meaning. Omele Rabacha, Bere the Rabbel Ravashi, and of course this statement now is what we were saying on all along when we asked our Kasha. Rabbi Yossi, maybe the Orchid, Rabbi Yossi is mode. If this is the normal mode by which something is done, then of course it's also included in Leket. What he's saying is that if you have a field of Tua, a field of Tua is not picked. It's harvested. And going, somebody goes around picking it, is not doing the Maisa Kotzer. But if it's the Maisa, the type of thing, which this is the way you get it, then of course you would be Chayav. How do I know? The Tani Rabbi Yossi Omer, it says in the Torah Kotzer. Maybe that means Dafka Kotzer? Eker Minayin, how do I know if somebody now is taking the type of harvest on a thing that requires pulling out? Let's say he's collecting Adashim. Adashim, you don't pick and you don't cut, you pull. So how do I know that there's a fee of an Adashim for Akira? Talmud Lomar, Lipsa. And how about Tolesh, where I pick something out without the roots? Let's say I'm picking beans. So how do I know that that's also Chayim? Talmud Lomar, Bikutzrecha. So this now is a Gilui, that when I use a word, it's meant to be expanded into the way in which something is normally done. Omelet Ravino Ravashi, I can show you this Beferish from a Mishnah. It says, Malbinot B'tzalim, Shebein Ayerek. Here we're talking about the Mishnah in Peah. It's talking about what constitutes a division between the field to create a separate Peah from each one. And as do we look at the entire thing, or if there's a river in between, or other types of plants in between. So here it says, if you have patches in which you plant rows of onions, and these onions are found in a garden between other types of yirakot. Now, yirakot normally are potter from peah, because yirakot are not nishmar. And with medayik mitera, only something which is I'm not nishmar, not machnis olakiyum, only something that I can put in and keep, similar to tefillah, huh? I can store it. You can't store vegetables. You put vegetables in, and they wither away. But bitzalim, you do store. So bitzalim would be chayev, but over here they're separated with other rows of vegetables. So Rabbi Yossi Tainas, you give peah mikolecha v'yachar. What's important to us, of course, is the fact that Rabbi Yossi holds you give peah bichlal from onions. Because it's all very nice to say that they're nishmar, but there's no act of ktsira on it bichlal, because you know, whoever takes a mite, you pick bitzalim. So clearly, what Rabbi Yossi is saying is that bitzalim, since it's the derech to pick them, that becomes their their katsir. V'chachomim omrim me'achat alakol, which is not the our issue, because the chachomim, of course, aren't makbid v'chlal on the lashon of the pasuk of a pe'ula. But meanwhile, you see clearly, Rabbi Yossi never meant to say that a word has to mean literally the word, but it does stand for a model of the standard pula of that thing, which is why we weren't able in the end to say that the Giza of Izim, the reason that we don't call it Giza is because it's done by hand. That no longer stands to the test of Rabbi Yossi being made in a Davar D'Urfe. And since it's a Beferish Mishnah, there's no point in arguing it out when we were going to say maybe he's wrong. I mean, clearly Rabbi Yossi means this.
If it's not a pula, it
wouldn't. The Kama who Mirubas. Now getting back to the Mishnah, let's take a look at the Mishnah. The Torah doesn't tell us how many tzon are mechayev you in Reishis Hagefs. But it does say tzon lecha. The Mashmaot is we're talking about tzon. So where do we see the Torah uses a lashon of tzon? So Tainas Beit Shammai Omrim Shtei Rechelot. It says Ye Ish Eglad Bakaru Shtei Tzon. Shtei Tzon. The Torah refers to as tzon. Whereas Beit Shammai says Chamesh Tzon Asuyot, which is strange. I mean, the fact that we do find somebody giving a gift of Chamesh Tzon doesn't mean that should be the minimum for a tzon. that's Messiah in you. I mean, what Beit Shammai says is undeniable. The word song is found as applying to two individuals, and we still call it song. So let's try to understand what it is that they're being medayach. I mean, Bishleim of the Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai makes perfectly good sense. If the Torah calls Tutzon song, so then Reishis gave song as Tutzon. The fact that she can bring me 100 examples of where I used 100,000 song, I mean, what does that have to do with it? We're looking for the minimum. We're not looking for the maximum. So Tartin Amikritso, but according to Beis Hillel, what tells Beis Hillel to go look at Chomesh Rechelos? Why shouldn't we take a look at the minimum? The Beis Hillel, my time. Omer of Kahana, Omer Akra, Asuyot. She'osok shtei mitzvot. By the way, I don't know if normally we would be medayik such a thing, because, I mean, the Pachas Asuyot means prepared. But if you take a look in the Pasuk, it's not written Asuyot, it's written Asuvot. There's a vav there, which is mashma Asiya Asiya. In other words, it's stressing. The double letters are darshan that way. It could be that that's what the Gemara has been saying. This is from the Achronim Taina. But in any event, it means that if you have two tzon, then you'll be bechuyev two mitzvahs. Asiya Asiya. What are the two mitzvahs? Reish Dageis and Matonis. What do you mean Reish Dageis and Matonis? Maybe it means Bukhar and Matonis. I mean, I don't understand. Why is this Reish Dageis? I mean, you certainly can't say all three mitzvahs. I mean, it's yours too. So that's not the point. So maybe it means Bukhar and Matonis. What do you mean Bukhar and Matonis? If you had one, you wouldn't be five on Bukhar. Bukhar or Chodam Yilon and Chayim. No, if that's what you're bothered with, so Matonis also you're five with one. I mean, what you were trying to say is that when you get to two, you already have two mitzvahs. So then you were saying, so what's the other mitzvah? Must be Reish Lakeis. But if I'm telling you that there's another mitzvah, you have Bukhar and Matanah, so how are you being medayik that now you're chayav with three mitzvahs? Where does it say three?
Even though one,
you have
Gerzeh
Matanah.
That's right. So why go to two?
And Okinah? So what's the point? That's what he's fighting to. El Amr Bashi, the point is, and of course we're not being the dying. Asuyot is the pshat. There happened to be two mitzvahs. What's the point of telling me that there happened to be two mitzvahs? I mean, you're going to tell me every time you use the word son or the word keves that there's a chiyuv of two mitzvahs of matanis and bechor. I mean, what are you trying to say? The point is, asuyot means that at this point it's mechayev you. Shema asot et ba'alayim. These two son can be mechayev you now for the first time. The omrot lo, in having them, they shout out to you, kumase mitzvah, get up and do a mitzvah. In other words, you didn't have this opportunity up until now, but now you have chamesh recheilos. Oh, get up and do something about it. So you see from here that only at this point do we kick in with a new chiyuv of the new mitzvah of Reishis Hakeitz. You certainly can't be matonis because I even won. Can't be bechor because I even won. So what could possibly be triggered by five at the point? So Asiyot is a trigger. The only mitzvah that could possibly be triggered at one particular point after one would be Reishis Hakeitz. So it's got to be telling you five rechelot trigger a new mitzvah. It says beferish chamesh rechelot Asiyot. It says beferish five. Tanya de Rabbi Shmuel. Tanya de Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishum Avi Arba. Very interesting. They were makabel from Rabbi Yossi. From his name, who was Makabal from his father, that the shear is not two, and it's not five, it's four. Shenemar v'arbatzon tachataseh. The Torah refers to four tzones. Perfect. Omar Rav says, oh man, ilmole divrei divrei Torah v'divrei beribi kabol. You know what? If the whole thing would have been reversed, if Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel would have been learning out from a pasuk in the Torah instead of in Tanakh, instead of in Nach, and Rabbi Yossi would have been the one who was learning from Nach, I still would have accepted Rabbi Yossi. Anan divrei baribi shemim. We would have been mekabel the words of baribi. Baribi is a lashon gadol b'dor. Because remember, we always say nimukoima. Rabbi Yossi is nimukoima. We would have followed the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Kol shikei now. Shidibran Dibre Kabbalah. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, what are they? They're looking around in Mach, the riots. There's a pussy in the Torah. Comes along with Yoshi and says, what do you want? He says, Arbatzon, Takatasseh. You can't get it clearer than that. So the, for sure, in the Dibre Baribi is Dibre Torah, for sure we're going to accept it. Now the Gemara thought that the reason that he's saying, anyway, for sure we would have listened to Rabbi Yossi, even if it would have been the other way around, was why? Because Bepashtus, midway between 2 and 5 is 4. In other words, so we were looking at it as a Das Machria. And a Das Machria always passed him like the Achros. He's Machria Beneim. You say 2, he says 5, I say 4. Let's compromise. Now, of course, as the Gemara is going to point out, throw in something else. I mean, Das Machria is the pshat where you have an application, it cuts across two issues, right? So one shita will say, I don't care about these two issues. In any case, the law is X. And the other one says, well, I'll go the other extreme. I'd say, I don't care about these two issues. In any case, the law is minus X. Comes along now a Das in the middle and says, look, it depends. I mean, one issue which was more night that the X is X. The issue that was less night to X is minus X. Right? So why don't we have such a machlokes, let's say, Megabe, the shear of matlonios? Whether you look at it, min amuchan, min apkamin, if it's muchan or ain't amuchan, what's the shear? So if somebody comes along and says, oh, if it's muchan, it's this, if it's ain't amuchan, it's that, then he's a das machria between cheetahs that would say, I don't care if it's muchan or ain't amuchan, it's this. And the other one will say, I don't care if it's muchan or ain't amuchan, it's minus this. So if you want to say, no, it depends. If it's Muchan, then already it's Chashem, so therefore the Shear is this. If it's Enum, so then you're addressing the issues that the two parties that were arguing, what they were arguing about. You're saying, look, I won't go to either extreme. I'll take both of your Shitas, and we'll compromise so that where it's more likely that that makes sense is a Das Machria. But one of the Tanoim of Das Machria, Tainis Rashi, is that the two parties to the Machlokas would have had to indicate that that question was a factor in what they were talking about. So in other words, if they will say, Bein min amuchan, bein sheino min amuchan, each one will say that. Comes along now the other day and says, it depends, min amuchan it's this, ein amuchan this. Okay, then you're Machria Beinayim. You can't suddenly bring in some new issue and say, well, it depends, it's more likely to apply Dea A here and Dea B there. Even that's not called Das Machria. Koshikin, in this case, where you pluck it out of a hat, and you say 2, you say 5, I say 4. The 4 has nothing to do with the 2 or the 5. So that can't be the reason that we would have followed Baribi in this case. Because we are Mar, and Hakra'ash, Nishit Mahraj, a third party Hakra'ah that has nothing to do with the 2, is not considered to be Hakra'ah at all. On Rav Yosef, the point of here is, remember, Rav Yosef said it, Mishum Avi. Mishum Avi, his father had a shmur, that he was Makabo, Mibichaga, Zachariah, Malachi. They held that it was a very reliable Mesera. Memela, he was given, we would have followed him. We didn't mean it was because of the Das Machria. 4. Rav Yosef been working his Omer, now, again, in the Mishnah, we have what appears to be an extreme machlokes, because Rav Yosef ben Hyrcanus says, indeed, Chomesh Hakeretz. Let's take a look, because the implication is that there's a specific shear here, or no shear at all. Because Rav Yosef ben Hyrcanus says, it depends. You can have 5, but they would have to have each one a giza of mana upras. So mana upras, meaning each individual of the rechalot gives us 1.5 mana. So then it would be chayv reishis hagetz. Whereas chachomim omrim, now the mashmaut is, chamesh rechalot goes as a kol shein. No matter what it is, I don't care how little it is. The kama, no, that's how much your chayv reishis hagetz from. Now there's 3 issues. The number of individuals, the amount of giza, which we need to consider in terms of each individual and in terms of the aggregate.
How much each one gives.
How much each one gives and how much they give in aggregate. We'll see that that's also going to be important. And the third issue is, and how much of that do you give to the Kohen? So now the Mishnah talks about how much you give to the Kohen, and it says that kama nosim lo, Now, that's important to note because we're going to have some problems with it now in Middlemar. So, those of an organ in a sense you need to have.
What do you mean? You have a small fire. Even if you have a tremendous amount, as long as you have enough pipes flying left of the thing, you wouldn't worry about it. Only in the equipment that you didn't have it.
That's simple. That's simple. And that's an answer. Somebody's going to come out that all of this is a misunderstanding.
Shall I wait for dinner?
So a coin? The coins are weights. Shekel is mishkal. Standard mishkal. The coins are weights of metal. No. When it's used in this sense, it means the weight, and it happens to be the coin of that value has this weight of gold or of silver, depending, or of copper, depending on what it is. So what we're referring to, therefore, when you say kol shehen, could be anything. Ask the Gemara, when you say kol shehen, Michael, what do you mean? Omar Rav says, even the kosher, according to Rabbanan, is that in aggregate there should be a mono upras. So it's unmoted to the shear that a mono upras is indeed a significant shear. So that would basically be 150 zuz, correct? Okay. So that's the shear, which gives us the weight, basically. It's important to note this here, because we're going to see it's important later on. That gives us a total weight of 37 and a half sla'im. Because you have 25, sela is 4 zuz. That means every mana of 100 zuz is 25 sela. And then you'd have an additional half, another 12 and a half. So that means it's a total of 37 and a half sela. The reason that this is important is because the question would be, as we'll see later, what proportion do you, is there a minimum mesina? And what proportion of what it is that you have do you have to give? Those two things can sometimes not work out. Because if you're talking about over here the standard mana of 25 sela, then you have over here a total of 37 and a half. If the shear is, as we'll see later on, ephes mishishim, then that means you're going to be giving less than a sela. And it turns out later that there's a minimum nesina of the sela. So there seems to be some contradiction here in this. Once you talk about the percentage, then your minimum shear should have to be large enough so that the percentage shear includes the minimum required for nesina. That's why we're going to end up with contradictions in there. Therefore, I'm insisting you should recall the sela value because that's what's going to cause us problems later on. So our assumption is that we're talking about standard mana. A standard mana, especially in Tzloim, is 25. A mana of a chetzi is 37 and a half. Okay, so therefore, what you have over here, says Rav, is a total of a mana upras, ubilvachu mechumashot. That total has to be evenly spread between each one of these, and therefore you need each one of them to have 7.5 sloyim worth of giza, which times 5 equals 37.5. And that way you get your total of mana v'chetzi, 150. But if the 150 is split evenly between the 5 tzom that you have, right? You're having problems with the math?
Always.
7.5 times 5 is 37.5. Yeah.
If you have 15 from once and nothing
from then it doesn't count.
It has to be evenly spaced.
This is Rav Shmuel says. Shmuel says, look, you need shishim, means 60 sela you need altogether, and out of that 60 sela you give one sela to the kohen. Now here already we're starting to talk about the percentage. Okay, and that's starting to make more sense. Because a sela as a minimum nesina, something usable, makes sense. And then if he's saying shishim and other things, so he's talking about ephes mishishim. Rabba Barbar, which of course is a problem with the Mishnah. Mishnah seems to say there's a minimum nesina of 5 sloyim. That's a Gemara we'll ask in a moment. Rabba Barbar Chanam Rabbi Yochanan says, well, Rabbi Yochanan is going to love this one. Well, as long as you get 6 sloyim, which leaves five for the Kohen and one for you, everything is fine. So then you're going to be Yotze, the minimum Nesina, which in the Mishnah is Chamesh Slayim, and there's something left, so it has to be, it's gracious, it has a little bit left, so you're taking the five out of the six, so there's enough for you and enough for the Kohen. Ula Omer of Elazar, Koshein Shanim. Who's that a stand? Look, Rabbi Elazar says, you know how to read? The Mishnah says Koshein. Last I heard, Koshein means Koshein. I don't care how much it is. If you'd have a total of one sell on the whole thing, it would also be called a Giza. Now, the problem is that the Mishnah seems to be omitted as a contradiction to almost all of the Shitas. It's not. The Mishnah says, Kama no tenlo, what do you have to give? Mishnah Hamesh Slaim Biyuda, Shem Eser Slaim Begalil. Now, I don't understand, how does that work? I mean, Rav doesn't have a problem, because Rav didn't say how much you have to give. Rav just said how much you have to take from. So maybe his 37 and a half shellas, Machayv Yisayv Slaim. I mean, he doesn't say it. So you can't ask a kash on him from the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is also not a problem, because Rabbi Yochanan says six, and you have to give five to the Kohen, so he's being Yotze the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you need to give a minimum of five. But the other sheet is, I don't understand, according to Shmuel. Shmuel says you give one sella out of 60. How does he read the Mishnah? It says you have to give a minimum of five. And according to Rabbi Elazar says Kol Shehin. How in the world would you get a Kol Shehin? Would you be able to give your Chamesh Shloim? V'latayimek. Come on. I mean, you're making yourself silly. You know that according to Rav, it also doesn't work. Because Rav, fine, over here he doesn't say how much to give. But elsewhere he says how much to give. Didn't we learn about Rav Shmuel Damit Avayu, Rages Agaz B'Shishin? That Rages Agaz, you give 1/60. So if you give 1/60, according to Rav, 1/60 of 37 and a half isn't very much. It's not even one seller. It's certainly not Chamesh Shloim. So how are you telling me, according to Rav, it works out? We're missing something over here, because nobody seems to be taking the Mishnah seriously as a minimum shear of Netina. And I'll explain to you. Okay, so what's the answer? The answer is Itmar Allah. Didn't we say Benogea Rav and Shmuel, which of course applies across the board. We said that what Rav and Shmuel understand the Mishnah is that it's talking about a guy who's got thousands of sheep, okay? Now he's got, out of his one out of 60, his very small percentage, he's got a ton of Giza sheep. And the Mishnah is saying, look, if you have a ton of Giza, you want to give it out to a lot of Kayanim, you should be Mechalik in such a way that no coin gets less than five, because that's a Chash of a Nesina. But it's not talking about what a minimum Nesina is. It's just telling you what a question of a sin is, where you have that much to give. So the Yisrael Shiyesho Gizin Arbe Askina, Umavakshina Mitznam B'Kohen, he wants to give part of it to one coin. So Amri Onle, we tell him, look, Kol Chad V'Chad, we're going to split it up, see to it that every single coin lo tevatzer le mechamesh esloyin, that each one of them gets at least a chash of a nesina of five esloyin, which he can actually use for something. Less. But tzar is less than. But tzar is in minimizing tzar. Good. Rabbi Shmuel Darmer Tavar, let's take a look at a minute. I mean, now that you bring it up, where does it get it from? They say, Reisha is B'Shishim, Truma is B'Shishim, Peya is B'Shishim. So I don't understand what kind of, first of all, I mean, it's not even true. What do you mean Truma is B'Shishim? But somebody's going to be Kovea, the Shir of Truma, Ba'ayin Ra. Why would they do that? It says the Pharisee in the Mishnah, right? Well, Rabbi Shmuel, what are the games that they playing over here? A Mishnah says Truma Ayin Yafa Echad Me'arboyim. So what are you telling me that is Pashishim? No, that they meant the Uriza is Pashishim. The Mishnah is talking about the Rabbanan Barboyim. What are you talking about, the Uriza Pashishim? It's not the Uriza Pashishim. Shmuel himself says that the Uriza Chitach is Peter Sakri, that even a single grain would potter a whole storage house of grain. It doesn't make sense. Why is he saying Shishim? Where the Mishnah sets out very clearly the difference between an Ayin Yaf, Ayin Ra, Beinani. So what did you mean? No, look, the point is like, the Arisa literally, of course it's Kiddush Shmuel, one Chitha. But then we have, what were the Rabbanan conveya as a shear in things that are high of Truma Midi Arisa, And what were the Rabbanan Koveh and Shir in things that were Mukhliyah of Truma only in the Rabbanan? Obviously, they're going to be more Makhdis to give a Matana Yotha from something that's Chayav, like Dagan, Tirosh, and Yitzhar, is Chayav and Truma Diyaraisa. Over there, give Echad Me'arboy. If you're talking about taking Truma from apples and oranges, the Torah doesn't say anything about that. So if we're going to be Mechadish and Truma Diyarabonim, it's fine to give Echad Me'arboy. So Diyarabonim Bidiyaraisa is Echad Me'arboy. Diyarabonim Bidiyarabonim is Beshishim. That's what we meant. So when they said Rabbi Shmuel, they were talking about the shear of a Truma Diyarabonim. But this is Kiddurais, because it's also the same thing that we would find in Kiddurais. But I'm not
sure.
It is the same shit. That's okay, because on the Zion Yotha, the Chabra being Machayev, you have to be generous in the Drabon.
The one
Gagir
is what? The one Gagir for a Kree is what?
Nothing. Minimum. Kosher. Oh, that's what would have been okay to potter Midiraisa. And if I did that, it's potter already.
Yeah,
and it's no longer tepid.
Yeah.
That's
right. I don't think it's there. The Torah doesn't talk about the milk you give it all. So
excellent point. Lovely. Torah doesn't talk about the amount you give it all. Rashi is troubled by this. And Rashi points out that it isn't really true. Because the dinim of the shear of truma are actually merumas in the posik, because we learn out the shear of shishim from vishishitem haifa from Yecheskel, and the mela we do actually have a shear. We can't simply say that's why, as a matter of fact, as truma we don't include an eilat varm sheilam shear, because you can't really say eilam shear since the Torah itself was merames the shear. So that's already when, once we say that, we say already what it means to be generous, but we can't say Ein Lam Shir anymore. V'atznan Ein Lam Shir Ein Lam Shir Ha'peyah V'abikurim V'arayon. So how are you telling me there's a shir of peyah? Is it Echaz V'shishir? Is this the fair shir? There isn't any. Rayon refers to bringing korbanos, the value of korbanos when you come from Re'iyah. Diyaraisa Ein Lam Shir. But the Rabban is Bashishi. So what exactly is Rabban Shmuel teaching? I got to pay off. Do my commercial, didn't he know? It says, Ein Pekasim Lepeya Mishishim. Does it say that? Apa Pisha Omru Hapeya Ein Lashir. So I need Rabban Shmuel not to tell me. I mean, it says the Pharisee and Peya, the next Mishnah. Very next Mishnah says, Apa Pisha Omru Peya Ein Lashir. But ain't focused on Mishishim. So what's Rabban Shmuel coming to tell me something that's a pressure Mishnah? Hashem Boret, talk about Chutzlaret. Wait. Over there was talking about the Ikati of Peah. Here we're talking about a Shir Chutzlaret. They're coming along to tell me a big Kiddush. And that Kiddush is that you have to take Shishim and Chutzlaret as well. Now from here you see an amazing Kiddush. The Gemara is taking for granted that Peah is Chayav of Chutzlaret. And indeed, the Rambam says, this is a very strange logic. Usually doesn't use such a lashon of Mishnah Torah. He says it would be Gemara Nisbayer. This is referring to this Gemara apparently. That there's a chiyav of peyah and chutzlaret, and that never says the fairish this thing by peyah. And so people look around, but here's the fairish Gemara.
All the other
mitzvahs
as well.
No. So it's something that they were mechanic. Kisolik Isi Barhini, Isi Barhini, came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkech El Rabbi Yochanan Kamasin, and Libray Rechaylin. He finds Rabbi Yochanan teaching him over the Mishnah with the word Rechaylin, and our Mishnah is Rechaylot. Omar Lay, so he says to Rabbi Yochanan, what's going on over here? You guys don't know Hebrew. Asnai Rechaylot. Omar Lay, what do you mean, Rechaylot? Maybe you guys in Babel never learned the Torah. There's the holy books. It says over there, Rechaylin Matai. What's that? Bring me a riot from the holy book. I mean, you have to speak in the Safaham and Duberet. So Rabbi Yochanan sees already, okay, this guy apparently is a Shrikas Avachachim over there. Omar Lay, Man Reish Sigra Bababa. So who over there is the, who's the Rosh Hashiva? Omar Lay, Abarisha, you know, Strider. Wait, Abba Richa Kavisa. This is how you refer to Rav as Abba Richa. You're a chutzpah. What about Rabbeinu Agadol? I mean, what's this Abba Richa jazz? The Chirna, because we had this before. The Chirna. Gosh, I remember when I was a kid in Yeshiva. I was sitting 17 rows behind Rav, who was sitting in front of Rebbe. And they would argue sometimes in Shir, the Nafti Zikukin Dinur, we put me to Rav, they put me to Rebbe. When we put me to Rebbe, they put me to Rav. I mean, they had fire, lightning shooting between their mouths. And I never understood a word they were talking about. Let's anayana mine, I mean, I couldn't even follow them. And you're calling this guy Strider. That's just incredible, the lack of their heads.
But who did you learn to love?
Yeah. Because since he was the Gadol B'Torah, they used the slang for, you know, the tall one, basically. He was the big guy.
The big,
the way you call a Gadol B'Torah, you know, the big guy.
Big man.
You know, exactly. Men on campus, that's right. It's definitely slang. I mean, it's not the way you refer to the baby Gadol
HaDor.
He knew him from when he was a kid. He is an Eretz Yisrael. And he used to learn by Rebbe. Anyway, so he asks Rabbi Yochanan, so tell me, how do you guys learn Reish HaGeiz? What's the shir? Reish HaGeiz B'Kama. How about Lay? No.
I heard that he had the same name as him, called him by his real name.
It's a very machlokic Rashi about whether the Abba can be the real name, or whether the Abba is Lashon Kovet.
It's one of the riots.
Yeah. No, it's one of Tosafot's riots. Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yochanan, it shouldn't say Rabbi Yochanan, no, because that's the context. Omar Lay, the Shir of Reish HaGeiz is one out of 60. So he asked them, not I understand. I mean, I read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, B'choshehim. Omalein came ma ben livalach. Look, man, if you're going to argue with me from the Mishnah, so what's the difference between the two of us? This is now suddenly a textual-based religion. You ask me a question, I give you an answer. Then you come and tell me, oh, I discovered a Mishnah. The Mishnah says not like that. That's not how to ask a Taina on me. I'm telling you that that's what Koshein means. You're telling me it's Koshein. Gyotra Bime Omar, Reishis HaGeiz Rav Amar B'Shishin, Rav Yochanan Mishur B'Vyanai Omar B'Shish. Now this doesn't seem to make much sense. He says B'Shishin, he says B'Shish, which is a contradiction anyway. Omar Le Abaya Le Rezimi, so Abaya says to me, look, Ansap Amchada, Akshas Amchada. One of these things, maybe, we can make it work out. The other one doesn't work out. I mean, I understand you've got a contradiction here in Rav Yochanan. I can answer that. Bishman to Rav Yochanan to Rav Yochanan, maybe that's not a kasha, because you could say that the koshein means said before sheish. The sheish would be, the, like we said over here, you know, echa the kohen, the kohen shlos, he would be giving five. Okay. And here he says, right? Before, or sometime. We had sheish. And make up your mind whether it's sheish or whether it's sheish. You say, hadi day, and hadi rabbi. You know, he's quoting Rabbi Yana, it says. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Yana, Omar B'sheish. Okay? That's not a contradiction. But, so, okay, you were saying sheish. That was his own sheish. Okay. But, Rav, I understand, you quoted us Rav as saying Rav Omar B'Shishin. If Rav says B'Shishin, then Rav had a Rav Kasha, because Shishin, when it's not referring to Shishin, the percentage, but the amount, the comma. So before he said, Rav said that it was the whole thing was 37.5 Sela. Not Shishin Sela, because he said one of a press. Here's where we remember our slayer. Mono pras, if a mon is 25 sela, so it's 37.5 half. How do you get shishi? Now, lemaise, this ends up being into defense. Because the minimum, the sina, has to be kosher to be a sela. Even if shishi meant 1 out of 60, then 1 out of 60 of the 37.5 doesn't give us a nesina of a sela. So if we're learning Shishim over here means, think about it either way, if we learn Shishim over here means 1 out of 60, something is wrong then with the Shir. Because then how could he have said before 37 and a half? Next, Lokash. Oh, I could answer that too. The mana that Rob was referring to was a mana of 40 sela, not a mana of 25 sela. So 40 and another half of 40 is 60, and therefore Shishim would be 1 out of 60, and 1 out of 60 is a matan of a sela. There you go. Davile b'shishim. So now it works out for Shishim. Yeah, I mean, it works out, assuming that we can believe such a thing. I mean, the Tani Tana mana ben arvoim slayim, is that such a thing? I mean, the mana is called a mana 40 sela. I mean, maybe, I see, make it up to suit the kasha. Show me, you know, any good accountant can do that. Show me where it says it. Is absolutely, I'll give you a bright and a flourish from the Tosefta where it says it. Well, Tanya, Chemas Chadasha, you're sewing now out of leather. You're sewing your Chemas to carry things in. So Abba Bishop Mikabela Rimonim, it hasn't yet been completely sewed. So even though the hole that's left that requires sewing is small enough, but if you fill it up with pomegranates, the pomegranates won't fall out. So you could say, well, have a fine pomegranate backpack over here, right? It's not considered now to be complete, and its Torah won't be makabel tumah. But if you already sewed it, and I have a backpack, and it's makabel tumah, now you want to know how much does it tear in order to be mavato, the tumah that's already on the backpack. And now it's nikra, then the shear is ismatiri monim. Because the standard shear for a large kli that should be considered to be useless is that you can't even put pomegranates in it without their falling out. So the question is, according to Rabbi Ezra Yaakov, the shear is not rimonim. It's kipikayot shosheti. It's like the large spools of thread that you use along the length of the weaving process. And how large are those? Achas mi arba, they would be 1 out of 4 when you buy them as a mona ben arba'im slayim. So it means, in other words, 10 sela. This is the standard ones that they sold after these types of threads in these denominations. So one of the type that sold ben arba'im slayim, 4 for arba'im slayim. So that size is the correct shear. It's important to us that you see, it says in the Brides of the Parish, there is such a thing as a mana ben arba'im. So then there's no steer between Rav and Rav. Rav said before mana b'chetzi, meaning 60 slayim. And you're quoting the shear of the Sina Zechat B'shishim equals 1 sela. Works out perfectly. There were two standards. There's the imperial gallon, and then there's the gallon. Where do you come from anyway?
The dollar and the dollar.